Thank God for the Ganos, and remember his family in the Philippines. His father had a church there, a Baptist church, and did a great work, and he's gone to heaven, and now his brother's pastoring that work, and a great family there in the Philippines. And thank God for the Ganos and Elgin's background. What a blessing, and now to see him leading his family in the good way, in the right way. It's great to see male spiritual leadership in the home. Amen. And servant leadership, you know, just a servant of God, leading by example in the home. And thank God for that. Praise the Lord. All right. I know that many of you read the Bible every day, and you follow the daily reading guide that we have on our church that we give out usually on Watch Night Service, which we'll be giving out a new one, Watch Night Service. And I use the church app. I have on my cell phone, which is now off, I have the church app, and I look that up every day, and I read off of that. My daughter Mindy updates that and does all that work on the app, and even though she's in Michigan helping mom, she helps with that. So that is a blessing, and if you don't know how to get an app downloaded on your phone, just see somebody. Don't see a baby boomer. See somebody. It's simple, but don't see a baby boomer. They'll get it, help you get it downloaded, and you can see me. I'll give you a number of somebody that'll help you download it. But or you can get a hard copy from the office. We give them out every year, and they come from that hard copy. But I love to read the Bible every morning. How many of you read the Bible every day? I like to read the Bible every morning. I like to do it the first thing in the morning. And I was reading this past week in Psalm 145. And I want to just read verse 15, first of all. It says there in verse 15, "The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season." And it's interesting because I read that, "The eyes of all waiteth upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season." And I read that the day after Thanksgiving, if you can understand that, the day after Thanksgiving. So you know what? That was the beginning of buck season. And I had all of my sons were coming in to go buck hunting. And they were going to go up to the Subotnicks, and we were going to go up there on Saturday. So we did. We went up there on Saturday, and Greg was there, and he helped guide us. And my son Brian was there, and my son Bo was there, and my son Steve was en route coming in, which I'll be hunting with him tomorrow up there. And so we were having Thanksgiving. We had our rifles, and we were up there getting ready to go at it. And the frustrating thing to me was I didn't see a buck. But I read that scripture, and it said, "He giveth them their meat in due season." And I thought about that, and I said, I want a buck, Brother Bob. And he did give me a number of buck on Saturday. But it wasn't. After we did the hunting, we went back to my son's house and we watched a beatdown. Well, not a beatdown, but a tremendously exciting game where we got Buckeyes given to us by my team. Michigan won against the Buckeyes, and we had a lot of fun with that. We had Thanksgiving dinner, and we got our meat in due season. You know, we weren't struggling for food. And you know what? God gives you your meat in due season, and I took encouragement from that God gave us our meat. And you know what? He gives us physical food in due season. I think about how God provides things for us. Years ago, I used to go hunting all the time. Now I just go out for social for my boys, you know, if they want to do it. But I used to do it, and I would get a deer every year, and then go to a butcher, and we would serve that for Christmas Eve, the deer, and made it into kielbasa and made it into different specialty. And it was always a provision of the Lord, you know, the deer. But some years, I didn't even have to go out hunting for that deer. Like, Brother Joe's father, Deacon Joe's father, Steve Slobodnik. Probably none of you knew him. I knew him. And he was a World War II flyer, and he actually crashed and shot a Bengal tiger out there in the Far East. And that's Brother Joe's dad. And Brother Joe's dad, he was a great hunter. And he would get a hold of me, call me up and say, you can come out now. I shot your buck for you, and tag him. And I would go out there, and I had the tag, and I put the tag in the buck, and I'd take the buck. And I had him for, and that was great with me. I said, I don't have to go hunting. You know, let him do it. I can go hunting souls. You know, I'd rather do that than go out. But God always brought in the meat in due season. And I think about, when I think about that verse 15, about God bringing in the meat in due season. By the way, I'm not preaching on this verse, but it was in the psalm, and I'm going to preach on another verse in this psalm. But it was such an encouragement to me, because I think about my wife, and my wife is somebody that God brought in due season. I'm not calling my wife meat. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't mean that. But I want to quote to you Psalm 145, 15, and it says there in Proverbs 31 that her price is far above rubies. Speaking of a godly woman. And it says in verses 14 and 15, she is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. And you know what? Ever since I got married to my wife, my food bills have gone down. But the food eating has gone up. And I'm so thankful it's not because I have food stamps. Right. It's because I've got God.
Good.
And a godly woman. And she bringeth in her meat. And my wife has always done that. We've had certain outlets that have been raised up that help us to get the deals on food. But we're not living on Biden's economy. Do you know what food costs now on Biden's economy? It's nuts. But we live on God's economy. He has different ways to help and supply. And it says she giveth a portion to her maidens. And I thank God my wife's burden is always to help other ladies in the church. And when she gets things, to help them as well and to offer them help. And then we have a church food bank, and I'm thankful for our church food bank, and that's been a help. I'm thankful for people like Tom Lydon, who's a great worker and helper in that regard, and a blessing. Tom is such a faithful man and does such a great work with that. And you know what? I see God behind all that. I see God behind that, and God provides meat in due season. It may not be a buck when you want it. But God provides it, you know. And I was showing my son, I had a bomber jacket, and it's a leather bomber jacket. And I was showing my son that, and that jacket is worth a lot of money. My wife got it for $3. And it says here that she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. And that's talking about spoil that comes from war and material things. And it's saying, if you've got a good wife, she won't spend all your money. She'll spend it. She likes to spend it. Women like to spend. They like to go shopping. I know that. But she spends it wisely. She spends it wisely. And it's not just throwing it away on Biden's economy with all this. It's God's provision. So I want to say that we can praise God for women of character in these days of moral slide, and how God raises them up. And you ladies are right to seek to be influenced by older godly ladies in the church. The older women teach the younger women, because in society today, we have a terrible lack of godly ladies, and our society is messed up. And so I'm thankful. And as we grew up, we had all of our kids in Christian school. I had to pay tuition. It was money. I had very little money coming in through a pastor's salary. But God provided, and in part because of my wife, and I had a commitment. I said, We're going to raise these kids. I want you home for the kids. Whatever work you do that brings in money, and she had some, it has to be in the home because I want you here for the kids. They need you here, available, and to raise the kids. And I'm thankful we always had that, and God provided that, and I believe that is still true today. You know, they have something called Dinks. Does anybody know what Dinks is? It was popularized in the 70s. It stands for dual income, no kids. Dual income and no kids, where people get married, let's not have any kids, and then I'll send my wife out to work. She'll make a lot of money, and we'll be rich and have all the fun. That's Dinks. And first of all, it's unbiblical. There's to be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. And not only is it unbiblical, but it is dangerous for a woman to send her out there in the world, and she'll be hit upon many times, young lady, and the world has temptations, and so that will cost in the long run when the marriage is destroyed. So we need to use wisdom, and that is all in verse 15, just in that psalm that I was reading, but there's more, and I would like to preach on verse 20. So go to Psalm 145, if you will, verse 20, and I'll read it. It says, "The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy." And I want to preach this morning on the Lord's promise to preserve you. The Lord's promise to preserve you if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, if you are a child of God. It says, "The Lord preserveth all them that love him." And I want to say, number one, that that is a promise that God makes. When I was hunting this past week, and will be tomorrow, I wasn't praying mainly to see a buck and shoot a buck, although I did that. What was I praying for? I was praying that one of my boys didn't shoot me. As we had all these rifles, these high-powered rifles, you know, and there's all these people in the woods, sound like a war zone next door there, and you could hear all these shots going off, and I'm like, what are all these crazy people doing in the woods? And I'm out here with them. I'm like, God, protect me, you know, protect us. And so that promise about the Lord preserving us, that's one we need to pick up when you're out in the woods, more than getting your meat in verse 15. Pray that you don't become dead meat. Amen. When my daughter was in school, she was threatened by the twins, my daughter Mindy, and they said, "You're dead meat," to her. I never forgot that. They threatened her. They said, "You're dead." This was at a Christian school. They threatened her. "You're dead meat." And we need God's protection. And I remember reading in the Psalms just before COVID-19. How many remember when COVID-19 came out? Wasn't too long ago, was it? And I remember reading in the Psalms just before it broke. Actually, it hit right in December is when it started hitting. It wasn't popular or like well known then, but it was starting to hit. And it was a bioweapon released by wicked people to try to steal the election, which they did. And that's why it was December 2019. The election was November 2020. Watch for something to happen right now and pray against it. I'm praying against it. Praying for God's protection. But anyway, they released COVID-19. COVID-19 stands for Certification of Vaccination ID. And there's luciferase put into it to track you. And there's putting trigger agents in it to kill you. And 19 is ID. It means an ID system. And it's precursor to the mark of the beast. Now, I remember warning people about that and telling people about that. And I read Psalm 90 at that time. And I'm not preaching on that, but we're talking about preservation, protection. So go to Psalm 90, if you would, and look at verse 1 and follow me as I read it. That's not what I wanted. Not Psalm 90. Thank you, Brother Matt. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 9. So, sorry about the wrong reference. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 9. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall what? Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What's that sound like to you? Does that sound like protection? Does that sound like preservation? Do you know the safest place for you is right in the center of God's will?
Right.
Dwelling in the secret place where God wants you to be. And the great general Andrew Jackson, who was a great general. Stonewall. We shouldn't be tearing down Stonewall. Thomas Jackson, I said Andrew. I meant Stonewall Thomas. Thank you. I need all kind of help today to preach this message. So Thomas Jackson, I don't believe in tearing down our history and tearing. You know who tears down statues of their history? Marxists. These people are just Marxists. They want to eradicate God and they want to eradicate our history so they can get rid of America. America's not perfect. Everything done by the Confederacy was not perfect, but neither by the North. I'm just saying to you that America's not perfect, but we don't tear down our history to build a great nation. That's what liberals do. That's what Marxists do. And they have no Bible to build on. So don't follow that junk. And anyway, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Verse 3, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Do you know what the noisome pestilence is? It is the pandemic, the plandemic that is noised abroad to get people to take the jab so that they can mark them, ID them, track them, and even reduce the population down. This is a globalist plot and steal the election. And I'm just saying to you, I read this just before COVID-19 came out in the open. And he said, he will deliver thee from the noise of pestilence. You say, well, how did you get this? We were teaching this in Sunday school, in my Sunday school class, just before COVID came out. And I got from that, you look to God for His protection. So I prayed to God to protect me. And you know, God began to show me what was really going on, and I shared it with the church, and I shared it with people. By the way, thank God when you have people that'll tell you the truth, even when it's unpopular. Because they really love you. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. We have a lot of leaders, spiritual leaders, political leaders. They're just lying to you. They're lying to you so they could stay popular, so they could stay in power, so they could get their money. They're not serving God. They're serving the almighty dollar. And it's all over. And so thank God for that and for God's protection of even your leaders. And he says in verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler, thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, and that was happening, for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence, that's the plandemic, that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. See, people got all afraid of COVID, and it did kill people. Yes, it did, because it was a bioweapon, and it was a horrible thing. But listen to me, they should be more afraid of the jab. The cure was worse than the disease. These guys got you going and coming. And God's people that had the secret of the Lord, the knowledge of what was going on, warned people not to get involved in that and not to do that. And so I am just saying that God has a way to protect you and preserve you when you walk with Him, when you walk by faith, and you don't get into the fear of man. Because what does the Bible say? The fear of man bringeth a what? A snare. But whoso trusteth in the Lord, it says, shall be made safe. And I'm so thankful that I saw God's protection and preservation during that time. And what I told people, I tell you now, build up your immune system. COVID-19 fights the SARS-2 virus. COVID-19 jab fights it, but only one kind. Once it get mutates in another kind, it can't fight it. That's why they need a booster, and then another booster, and then another booster, right? And it kills them. You need to build your immune system. herd immunity is right. Herd immunity is right. By the way, the first Thanksgiving, the Native Americans died off because they didn't have herd immunity. Squanto and some of those Native Americans had herd immunity, and they were able to help the pilgrims. I'm just saying that's the way to go. Build your immune system. Eat right. Vitamin C, D, zinc. And God will protect you through that more than anything else. And so I'm just saying that that this is God's promise. He says in Psalm 145, verse 20, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. And so I want to talk to you about the Lord's promise to preserve you. And I want to say, number one, that it's demonstrated by his preservation of two people in the Bible. And you know who those two people were? Joshua and Caleb. And God promises to preserve you just like he preserved those two men. And he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. What does the word kept mean? That you are preserved and protected in this world, if you're a child of God, by the power of Almighty God in your life. He keeps you. What does he keep you from? The devil. What does he keep you from? The world and getting destroyed by the world. What does he keep you from? Getting destroyed by your own sinful nature. Do you know if you give in to your own sinful nature, it ruins your life? Do you know when God is not taking care of people, he gives them up to their own lust? You know, that's what's happened in America. So many people he gave them up to their own lust because they wanted their own way, not God's way. And now they're so messed up, they're going into public schools and teaching little girls and little boys, oh, you should identify as another person, like another gender. And they're coming up with all this stuff. And they're even coming up with Furbies, where you identify as an animal, and all this craziness. And the Bible says that is not being wise, that's being fools. That's getting away from God, and God just giving people up to their own desire, and you're acting like a bunch of fools. And America is no longer respected because of that. Around the world, my friend, because we're acting like a bunch of Furbies or acting like a bunch of transgender people and all this garbage. It's not of God, and so God will protect you. He'll keep you by the power of God from yourself. From your own sinful nature. Listen to me. Your sinful nature will come to you and say, give in to this lust. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to drink this holiday liquor? No, the Bible says any alcoholic beverage is sinful.
That's right.
Wine that's non-alcoholic is good in the Bible, but any sinful, you're not to get involved with it. You're not to look upon it. Why? It's not of God. You're being deceived. You say, but I'm a cool Christian. I'm not like you right-wing fundamental types. No, you're just a deceived dummy.
That's right.
And so I'm just saying to you today that I was where you were at one time. I went to seminary. I became an evangelical. I had one of the most popular churches in Scranton. Everybody wanted to come here when I was in my 30s. But God woke me up. And he showed me that's a bunch of baloney. And so I just want to say to you that God preserves you. He takes care of you by not letting you give into your own sinful desires, because that will bring you down just like it did America. And you say, I don't like that kind of preaching, Pastor. Well, your pride doesn't like it. But you know what? God has humbles you, and then he feeds you with heavenly manna. That's what he did for the Jews, and he took care of them in the wilderness. And two of those Jews were Joshua and Caleb, and they were protected by the power of God. What happened? Well, you remember what happened. They had been out in the wilderness just for a couple years getting the law. Now they were ready to go into the promised land. And Moses sent out 12 spies to check out the land. This is the land God promised us. Oh, they came back. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. Oh, it's a wonderful land. Oh, it's wonderful. But 10 of the 12 spies said something bad. You know what the 10 of the 12 spies said? 10 of the 12 spies said, it's a great land, but there are giants in there. And if we try to go in there and take that land, the giants will squash us like little bugs. We're just like grasshoppers. And the people are like, no, no, no. Two of the spies said, No, don't worry about the giants. God will go forward with you and he will give you victory. You just look outside of yourself to God. He is faithful to his promise. Well, who did they believe? The majority or the minority? They believed the majority, the 10 spies. By the way, if you have two parents, now listen to me, I'm going to give you some good teaching. You have two parents, and one parent is the one that goes the narrow way of the Bible, and the other parent is more liberal and goes the way of flesh. Who are your kids going to follow? They're always going to follow the easy way. They're always going to follow the easy way. We had one girl in our church, she used to rock. You ever hear anybody rock? And I finally figured out why she was rocking. She was rocking. No, she was rocking because she was dividing between the father and the mother. The mother was straight, the father was liberal. And she went with the father. And it always goes that way. And I'm just saying to you that they went with the 10 spies that said, oh, we can't go in there. Let's just backslide away from that land and let's do our own thing and depend on our own resources. And they all did that, you see. And you know what? God is able to preserve you. And so what did he do? The two spies that didn't go along with the majority, those spies, God said, you had faith in me, and so I am going to preserve you by my power. By the way, we're preserved by the power of God through what? Faith. Amen. Faith lays hold of God. Faith lays hold of his resource. These men looked to God. They looked outside of themselves. So I'm going to preserve you. And do you know what happened? At 85 years of age, after every one of those other spies and all of the people that backslid and followed those spies died in the wilderness, God said, not one of you are going into the promised land. You didn't believe me. I'm not going to preserve you. I'm going to let you die in the wilderness. Do you know, over 38 years, they all died. Do you know how many funerals that was a day? That was 80 funerals a day where they died in the wilderness. 80 funerals a day. Can you imagine that? But guess what? Joshua didn't die. Caleb didn't die. So after they got out of the wilderness, they got going into the promised land, they fought the wars in the promised land to take this wonderful land. Caleb was 85 years of age now. He'd been preserved by God. You know what he said? He said, I'm just like I was when I was 40. He said, I want a mountain. Don't give me a valley. I want to go up on a mountain. I want to kill the giants, and I want to take that mountain and give it to my family. And you know what? He did it. God gave him the power to do it. Why? He operated in faith, just like Joshua. Those two guys. And God preserved them. You know what? I'll tell you what. I don't need to hunt anymore. I'm on mothballs when it comes to hunting. I don't hunt. I don't go out there. But my sons were coming, so I said, I'm going to hunt. I got up at 4 in the morning, got all the hunting gear out, got dressed, did all that stuff, and then went out there and met my boys up there at Sabodnik's, and we went out hunting, and I hunted, walked up and down the mountains and did all that. I could shoot deer. I could drag it out. I'm at my age, I could do it just like I ever did. And I'm thankful I could do it. Why? Not for the deer, but for to be with my boys, to do something with them so they can know the man of God is not just a church guy, but he can be out there and he can hunt. And so I want to tell you, God preserves you. God preserves you, and he takes care of you to be able to do his will. Now it may be his will for you to die young. That's fine if that's his will. But he kept Joshua and Caleb alive so they could conquer the promised land. And you know what? There are many people today, even in professing Christianity, and they are not believing God. They hear warnings from the Word of God. They hear warnings about the dangers in the world, and they just go along with the world, and they pay the price for it. And you say, well, where is that in the New Testament? I hear about the children of Israel dying out. Well, the Bible says there are examples, right? In 1 Corinthians 10, there are examples. But if you want to get more specific, 1 Corinthians 11, I'll read it to you. Here's what it says about what I'm talking about. Verse 30, it says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That means you die early because you didn't trust and obey, for there's no other way. So believers in that church, listen, were being chastened by God. They didn't die and go to hell. They were chastened by God and went to heaven early. And I believe many of God's people, when the COVID was released in 2019, COVID-19, it was Bill Gates' plan. And then it came to light about March 2020, where everybody saw what was going on. Rather than the warnings, listening to the warnings of the Lord through his preachers, many got sick and died because of failure to trust God and to follow his counsel. Now, Jesus warned in Matthew 24 and many other places of pandemics, and he warned of end time deception. And he said, do not be deceived, do not be deceived, do not be deceived. Listen, do not listen to MSNBC. Do not listen to mainstream media outlets, in the main Fox News, you know, but all these outlets that are under the Western globalists, who are trying to unite the world under one ruler and are setting up the world for the Jewish Antichrist and for the Gentile beast ruler. And do you know right now, have you noticed the anti-Semitism coming out? And all the people that are flying the Palestinian flag and all that kind of stuff? Listen to me, that land was not promised to anybody but the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you should not be calling them dominating over the land. That's the land God gave them. And you don't like it? Tough. God, take it up with God. It's not me. I'm just submitting to it because I'm not a Jew, but I'm submitting to it because I submit to God. And so I'm just saying that people get chastened because they don't listen to God. And these people that listen to the 10 spies who were Jews, who were lying to them, remind me of the people when Jesus came that were Jews, and they listened to the Jewish Pharisees and Sadducees, and they said, oh, don't believe in Jesus, he's not the Messiah. And those Jews that rejected it, guess what? They died and went to hell. Just like the Jews that were unbelievers didn't go into the promised land. And if you didn't believe in Jesus, you died and went to hell as Jews when Jesus came. Or you died and went to the gas chambers eventually and all that. The judgment of God that came on the Jewish people for rejecting their Messiah. So all I'm saying to you is that we need to see that God promises to preserve you in this life and certainly from hellfire. If you realize the example of Joshua and Caleb, don't go along with the broad way that leads to destruction. Go with the narrow way. Who's the narrow way? Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the way. Not Allah, not Jehovah's false witness, not the Catholic way. Jesus' way. And you go through him through simple faith, and you will be saved and you will enter in. And then if you follow the word and believe the word, you'll preserve your life to live longer as a believer until God's done with you and wants to take you out. But you won't be taking yourself out through chastening. And so the Lord's promise to preserve you is demonstrated, number one, by his preservation of Joshua and Caleb. Number two, demonstrated by his prayers for you. Listen to me, demonstrated by his prayers for you. There is a disciple that's an example for you in the New Testament of how the Lord preserves you as a believer. And that is the Apostle Peter. I'm so thankful for Peter. Peter would open his mouth and say what everybody else was thinking because he had a sanguine temperament. Then he'd get in trouble, right? So we all learn from Peter how not to do it. And so Peter told the Lord, he said, look, Lord, I'm gonna stay with you. I won't backslide. I'll stay with you. Though all others forsake you, you can always count on me. And so he didn't have time to pray, and he had a sword, and he was ready to chop off anybody's head that would try to arrest the Lord. And that's what he proceeded to do when they came to arrest the Lord. He drew his sword, he went to chop a guy's head off, and the guy ducked, and he cut his ear off, and the Lord had to heal the ear back on and say, "Put up your sword, Peter." He said, "You should have been watching and praying." And Peter, then his adrenaline went right down to nothing, and now he booked and ran away like all the other disciples. And then he followed afar off to see what was going on. And then he denied the Lord three times. Thank God, though, he wasn't wicked like Judas. He was a true believer. Judas died and went to hell. He was a fake. I hope you're not a Judas. If you are a Judas and you really don't know the Lord today, may you turn to him and trust him to save you. And he'll do it. But Judas didn't do it. But Peter had. He trusted the Lord, but he was now trusting his own strength. And the Lord said to him, he said, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times, you know." And he said, "But I prayed for you that your faith fail not." And he said, "When thou art converted, go strengthen thy brothers." And so the Lord said to Peter, "I prayed for you." Now, you know what? The Lord prayed for Peter that his faith failed not. Do you know why your faith doesn't fail? It's not because you're such a strong believer. It's because the Lord is praying for you right now. He's at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says, praying for the true believers that what? Your faith does not fail. And if your faith doesn't fail, then you latch hold of God and his power is released through faith in your life to protect you and preserve you spiritually. That's why a true believer just can't go back and stay in the world. You may fall for a time and backslide for a time, but you can't stay there because the Lord chastens you. He's praying for you. He won't let you stay in that place. And he did that for Peter. And remember, when the Lord rose from the dead, as Elgin and Camille sang about the Lord rising from the dead, the Lord went to Peter and he restored him and he brought him back and strengthened his faith. And then what did Peter do? He gave his life for the Lord and he preached. God will do that for you. He will preserve you because he's praying for you to be preserved. Let me give you another illustration right out of the Bible. When the Lord fed the 5,000, he fed them with the fish and the bread, and then he went up on a high mountain to pray, and his disciples were sent out on a boat across the Sea of Galilee. And as they were out there, a storm came up. But guess what? The Sea of Galilee is an illustration to you and I that when you accept the Lord as your Savior, the Lord sends you out into the world, and then he's up in heaven, but he's watching you, just like the Lord was watching the disciples. Well, they got in that boat in that storm, and they were ready to perish. They were going to go down. And what happened? The Lord walked out on top of the water, and he came to them, and they thought he was a ghost. And for a fisherman, if they saw a ghost, that meant they were going to die. So they freaked out. They thought they were going to die. And the Lord said, "No, it's I. Don't be afraid." And he eventually got on the boat and got them to the other side. You know what? That's an illustration that the Lord is praying for you. And when you get into trouble and you're overwhelmed, I mean, how many times have you just felt overwhelmed and you said, "I don't even know if I believe anymore. I don't even know if I can trust God anymore." That's you, but the Lord prays for you and he restores your faith. He even comes in the boat and he lifts you and strengthens you and he helps you to get to the other side. And so whatever you're going through, physical problem, financial problem, spiritual challenge, weakness, the Lord is praying for you. The Lord is watching you and he will has the power and he will preserve you and he will protect you. You're weak and you're weary. I'm weak and weary. What's the difference between Peter and Judas? I'll tell you what it is. It's the Lord's prayers. The Lord prays for his own people. He knows those that are his. He knows those that have been joined to him by saving faith. And he prays for you. And he promises to preserve you, demonstrated by Joshua and Caleb, the preservation of Joshua and Caleb, and demonstrated by his prayers for you, which are illustrated in the Bible. And then last, demonstrated by his promises to you. I love this. The Bible says that if you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the forgiveness of sins. That means you're not going to be judged for any of your sins. Jesus was judged for your sins. I don't know about you, but that's a wonderful thing to know. You don't have to stand before God and answer for all of your sins, because we all have a lot of them. And if he would mark them all down and bring them up, the Bible says, who among us would stand? Nobody. But for the sins of all of those that have trusted him, you will never have to answer for those sins. But I got something even more wonderful, I guess. That is, everyone that trusts Jesus is joined to him spiritually by the Spirit of God. They're baptized into Christ. That means immersed into Christ, that you're united to him. What does that mean? You're like a branch. A person that is a branch that's not connected to the vine or to the trunk of the tree, it's going to just wither and die and be burned in the fire, like go to hell. But when you're saved because you believed in Christ, not only are your sins forgiven, but now you're joined to Christ. You're a branch planted into the tree. And that means that his sap is in you and you're alive, and he will never leave you or forsake you, just like he can never be separated from the life of God like he was on the cross. When he was on the cross, he was separated from God. He was abandoned by God. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Just like he can never go back there on the cross, since he was raised from the dead, if you believe in him, you can never go back to what you were when you weren't linked up to God. You'll never go back there. You'll never go back there because you're joined to him and he's alive. So he said, because I live, ye shall what? Live also. And that's true of every believer. Doesn't matter. If they're not a true believer like Judas, no, it's not true of them. But it's true of every believer. That's why a true believer will never ultimately backslide away. He'll stay in a state of grace because of the prayers of Christ, because of the promises of God. And so you can trust that and believe that. And so we see that happening in the lives of God's people. You may feel weak. You may feel prone to sin. You may feel like you're not going to make it. Like you're going to fail. I feel like that. I can get up here in the pulpit. God strengthens me to preach. But there are times, man, I feel like I'm not going to make it. And the devil tells me, you're not going to make it. You're going to fail. You're going to fail God. You're going to just go under. He tells you that. But I'm kept by the power of God through faith. And so you need your faith fed. And he keeps you and he sustains you. I was talking to a brother in Christ, and I was asking him how his Thanksgiving was. And he was saying, you know, this and that and how the good parts. But I got some problems. I got some struggles and just feel like, how can I make it? And I said, you know what? You can make it because you have a perfect Savior who never sinned, who died for our sins, was buried, rose again, and you're a believer, so you're joined to him. And he is not going to fail to answer your prayer for what you need to stand. Just ask him. He said, you know what, Pastor, I've been doing that. And I believe that. And so it's true of you today that he will do that, and that's a promise. And here's one more promise I'll leave you with. It's two more promises, real quick. One's in Jude, verse 24. Here's what it says. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You know, we're living in a day when a lot of people are giving up on the church. They're giving up on God. They're giving up on the Bible. They claim to believe at one time, but they're giving up on it. But God says, if you're truly saved and joined to Christ, God is able to keep you from falling. He won't let you fall away. Because of the prayers of Christ, because of the promises of God. He won't let you fall away. He's able to keep you from falling and to protect you and preserve you. And it says, and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Can you imagine yourself being faultless one day? I can't imagine it. But I know it's going to happen. Because that's his plan for you. And there's one more verse I want to leave you with. It's in Philippians 1:6. Here's what it says. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, what is that very thing he's going to do? He's going to protect you and preserve you till you're safely with Jesus Christ. See, how can that be? At the second coming? And if you die, you'll go to heaven until the second coming. If you live, you'll be able to stand even during the times of the beast. And you will be preserved. And you'll not miss out on this wonderful promise. So some of you worry about the future. Don't worry about the future. Take it one day at a time. Trust his promise to protect you. I heard a chapel message one time by a pastor when I was in Bible college. And he said something I never forgot. He said three things. God is faithful to his person. That means he cannot lie. He cannot break his promise. He's faithful to his person. He's faithful to his people. When you're saved, you're one of his people. He's never going to forget you. And number three, he's faithful to his promises. He never breaks his promises. That's why Israel is coming back, man. God, he has a long memory. He doesn't forget. And if you're a child of God, you can never be lost. He'll preserve you. If you're not a child of God, he will save you if you come to Christ and admit your need and trust Jesus to take your sins. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed this morning. Thank God for his promise to preserve you. Psalm 145, verse 20.